We are continuing our sermon series about the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew. We're picking it up today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. And today we're going to actually set the stage for almost like a mini series inside the series. We're going to make it real complicated. Hopefully not. Hopefully we're... It's going to set the stage for the next week or two for Matthew 21 through 48. Buckle in for the next 20 minutes. So week one, we heard about the Beatitudes. In week two, we got to be challenged of being the light in the world and the Christ the Cornerstone version of staying salty. So now we get to go to law school. There we go. It was delayed a little bit. Everybody wants to learn about laws, right? Like every year you read your handbook on all the driving laws, I'm sure, as... Yeah, you like it. Yeah, no? All right. Well, let's read 5, 17 through 20, and then we'll dive into it. In my book, it's titled, Jesus Teaches About the Law. So everybody went to law school for a minute here. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So, let's back up a little bit. What is the law of Moses or the prophets Jesus is referring to anyway? Well, quick examples. You got the Ten Commandments. You got Levitical law from Leviticus. Carries on into Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, we get a new copy of the commandments, a new copy of the tablets in Deuteronomy 10 to replace the ones that were smashed. Us humans, right? Exodus 20, I'm going to paraphrase the Ten Commandments for those that need a refresher. No gods before me. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Lord's day holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. The Ten Commandments we just reviewed are considered moral law. Levitical law and other parts of the Old Testament provide a category known as ceremonial law. Examples of this is establishment and regulations about the priesthood that we see in Leviticus 8, 1 through 36, sacrifice rules and purpose that you see in Leviticus 1, 1 through 9, and then a bunch of others. Pastor Jamie talked a little bit about that last week, about the salt bringing to the sacrifices, and instructions for building the tabernacle. In Exodus 2:25, 1 all the way through chapter 31, 1 through 11, and that's just one example. And that thing went into great details. It should be this cubits and that cubits, and there should be cherubim, and they should be situated perfectly. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on there. There is a third main category called civil law. These laws govern how the Israelites should enforce or punish when moral law or ceremonial laws are not kept. So examples of this is in Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 13, provides the rules and procedures of the judges on how they should apply the law. Another example would be Exodus 21, 12, where killing a man is punishable by death. So if you did not keep the commandment, you shall not kill, then you shall be killed yourself. So some theologians will say that there's five categories of law. We can go, there could be a 12-week Bible study just about the law. For purposes of today, we're going to keep it simple. Three main categories of law: moral, ceremonial, and civil. Another way to look at them, as I like try to, for myself, I have to keep things simple, otherwise I make them too complicated. Moral, what should guide our intentions? Ceremonial, actions to be closer to God. I sin, I need to repent, I take the oxen to sacrifice, to atone, so I can be closer to God. And civil, What do we do in a society when we or someone fails to abide by the laws? And essentially, we're attempting to make things right. Justice doesn't always make things right, but that's our attempt. The civil law is really an attempt to make things right. So when we read 17, the verse alone, Jesus says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to accomplish their purpose. The folks at this sermon would understand the law as they were governed by them. They would also be aware of the oppressiveness they may have felt with how the laws were held over them. Why? Because us humans tend to abuse just about anything given to us. The laws were originally given to help folks love God with their whole hearts and their whole minds. Intentional thought, intentional actions. To love God and to love others. In Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 16, we get to go way back here. We're going to read this and uncover something if somebody forgot that there's a lot of things that we think we learn new in the New Testament, but it's really old. So in Deuteronomy 12, it says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the object of his love. And he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as it is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn." See, church, even in the Old Testament, in the OT, God talks about your heart. It is not a new trend with Jesus on the scene in the New Testament. It's always been about love and relationship with God. However, us humans also tend to lean towards the tangible and can get caught up in the to-dos, lose sight of the purpose. This leads to wanting others to see what you do for credit or for validation. We also don't always do well when we are threatened if we see somebody else is doing something better than us, like they remembered the salt and I forgot mine when it come to sacrifice. Or we're not that great with authority sometimes. So if we have authority, we sometimes turn to tangible things that we can throw our judgment and say, "Look, I have authority. I'm in this position." And so then we end up with, "Oh, did you see so-and-so not do the sacrifice perfectly? Like, did you see how they cut that ox? They only brought a pinch of salt. Shouldn't it be a tablespoon?" So we struggle sometimes staying in the pocket of accountability partners rather than judges. So what happened here is the law over time started being misquoted and misapplied. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees got power hungry with their authority to hold people and the community accountable for following the laws and twisted it to have authority and put people down and raise themselves up. So by the time Jesus is on the earth, it's a mess. So now Jesus is setting the stage to think about these laws differently, which would throw people off. The punchline is Jesus was and will continue in this sermon pointing to the original purpose of the laws. So he seems like he's flipping everything upside down for people, but really he's bringing them back to the fundamentals, back to what it was originally intended for. By Jesus stating he is here to accomplish their purpose, he is also establishing his authority bestowed on him to teach beyond the laws and rituals as known by the audience. He is also referring to the old covenant and the new covenant. That's a whole new sermon, but we're just going to throw that out there right now because it's important. look at the Old Testament laws and prophets. When you really look at them, they're all pointing forward and towards Jesus. With Jesus' first coming, the law is included and superseded by Jesus. So they are included and superseded. It's not just put to the side. They're included, and then they go beyond. The law is taken into Jesus' teaching and completely transformed that it lives on through enhancement. That's how I look at it anyway. Enhance. We will learn more about enhancements to the moral law in the next sermon or two, but here's a sneak peek as an example to enhancement in Matthew 5, 21 through 22. Let me get back to Matthew. You have heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. That enhances it, right? Because what drives the murder? Probably anger. So like, don't even get involved in that. Like, why even get yourself potentially down that road? It's included and it goes beyond. That's what Jesus does. So I couldn't put this in my own words, so I'm going to quote Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, and they put it this way. God's demands, like the laws, God's demands cannot be reduced to a list of rules, but involve the commitment of one's whole being to God and a genuine concern for the well-being of others. Yeah, like, couldn't put that a different way. God's demands cannot be reduced to a list of rules, but involve the commitment of one's whole being to him, a genuine concern for the well-being of others. So in 18 through 19 here in Matthew 5, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So what do I make of this, Pastor Tash? As we don't do sacrifices anymore, right? So like, we don't do a lot of the ceremonial laws. Our civil laws are much different. Some of them are comparable, but they're much different. Ceremonial law is primarily used to be closer to God and point forward to Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. So once Jesus died on the cross, these are no longer necessary. So like the example of bringing your sacrifice in the Old Testament, they do that all the time. We no longer have to do that because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And so that ceremonial law has been realized. So we move on and we point to Jesus. However, the principles to love God, revere God, worship God still apply. Civil law. These were for a specific time for a specific people, the Israelites. See, the first laws and the covenant were centered on an ethnic and physical nation as the new covenant. Do you get that? So the old covenant that's centered on a specific ethnicity, the Israelites, and the physical nation of Israel. The new covenant comes along and it expands to everyone. The whole world, regardless of ethnicity, to all. The kingdom of God expands to all. So the civil law must evolve as well as the society shifts. It expands. But again, the purpose remains. Accountability in how we live amongst one another and with God in the center. Love God, love others. And try to make it right if there's failure. Try to make it right. Moral law will, as mentioned before, evolve and really focus on our hearts and our minds, our inward motivations and intentions. So verse 20, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This would be a big statement. It would shake some of the audience at this sermon to the core. And the Pharisees would really not be happy with this statement. See, because Jesus is constantly like kind of accused that he is forsaking all the laws. His people pick some grain on the Sabbath. So they're walking through the field like, oh, for shame. And so this would be a big statement, like, because you're talking about the people that have been put in place to be accountability for the community. They're supposed to be the holy of holy of the humans, the most righteous. And Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness is better than that of the righteousness of the teachers. So he's saying you can do better. And remember, this is a group of people that, in general, don't want to give everybody that. There are some exceptions here. In general, think that they are mightier because they've been put into these positions. Reference authority earlier. So this would be a big statement and not welcome, as they would take great offense and it would shake the hierarchy of society. But again, we had perverted the laws by negating or misunderstanding the purpose of them. My study Bible notes says it so well that, again, I'm going to just read from one of my resources. The Pharisees were exacting and scrupulous in their attempts to follow their laws. So how could Jesus reasonably call us to greater righteousness than theirs? The Pharisees' weaknesses was that they were content to obey the laws outwardly without allowing God to change their hearts or attitudes. They looked pious, but they were far from the kingdom of heaven. God judges our hearts as well as our deeds, for it is in the heart that our real allegiance lies. Jesus was saying that his listeners needed a different kind of righteousness altogether, out of love for God, not just a more intense version of the Pharisees' obedience, which was mere legal compliance. Our righteousness must, one, come from what God does in us, not what God can do by ourselves. Not what we can do by ourselves. Two, be God-centered, not self-centered. Three, be based on reverence for God, not approval from God. And four, go beyond keeping the law to living by the principles behind the law. We should be just as concerned about our attitudes that people don't see as about our actions that are seen by all. So it's a culture thing. I'm going to go off book on an example just to kind of make this real in our lives. In my role at work, I do a lot of process improvement. And so if we're changing a process that kind of rocks the culture, like we're trying to change behaviors, it's not enough to teach people, okay, here's the new system. You're going to put these things into these boxes and you're going to copy and paste it from this system and you're going to put it in this system. And then when you think about things, you know, put it over here. That's all the technical stuff of like where things go in an application. And sometimes, a lot of times, we get really, really caught up on what goes in the boxes. But if we don't train on the back end, how do I think about the things that I need to put into those boxes, then we don't give people autonomy to do their roles to the best of their abilities. Because every time it comes to a gray area on what I put in box two, now I got to call my leader. Not that there shouldn't be some conversation, but so what's happening here is that you've got these laws and essentially you're checking the boxes. But when it comes to how I should think about them so that we change the culture around us, we're forgetting to think, to train also on the thought process behind the things that we're doing so that you're autonomous and free to think for yourselves and to have that relationship with God yourself and not through the Pharisees, because now Jesus came and made that connector. So that's a way that we can think about it, is what is the thought process behind? What is the purpose behind the laws? How can I follow that with my whole heart and my whole mind and not have to go to the Pharisee, if you will, and say, hey, how do I follow this? Like, we want behind the scenes is really where we're going for. What's in your heart? What drives your intentions? So Jesus did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. Jesus came to accomplish their purpose, to remind us why the laws existed in the first place, and to reset the stage for a different way of being in relationship with God, building that bridge. It comes back again to what is in your heart, what is in your mind, what drives your motivations and your intentions. The law in the Old Testament, and as enhanced in the New Testament, is to set a guide to help us love God and others more fully, to be reconciled to God and others more fully, to have a deeper, more connected relationship with God and others, because we have a foundation that we're all standing on, the foundation of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is once again in the sermon rocking the boat, but just going back to the fundamentals. And that's what's so interesting to me as we close. And this is just a side note, because I was like, oh my gosh, maybe it's just me, but I re-realized that the Ten Commandments come way far in the history of the Israelites, if you think about it. They don't get the Ten Commandments till after they're out of Egypt. Like, all this stuff happens. The Ten Commandments don't come until after they're out of Egypt and they're being prepared to go into the Promised Land. So what's really groovy about this whole thing is at the beginning of the time, there wasn't this standard set of laws. Like, and the ceremonial laws didn't come until later. Like, the civil laws didn't come until later. So, like, you could see where God had the grace the whole time. It was never about only about achieving this letter of the law. It was always about relationship. It was always about grace. It was always about mercy, because God saves these people several times before saying, okay, look, we need to set some guidelines here, because you guys are just... I created you and I love you, but you're just running amok. So let's sit down. Moses is going to bring down a couple tablets. We're going to go over them. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message, God, and for just setting us back to the fundamentals, putting us back to the foundation of what we believe and how we interact with you and others, God. Just the basics. Love God. Love others. Don't do harm. Look for good intention. Instead of just judging, look for good intention. Think positively about each other. Act in a way that we confuse people on why are they so loving in a situation like this, God. Help us to seek more of the purpose behind the guidelines that you put into our lives, God, for living. Help us to focus more on that. And then following the laws will just come. Help us to focus on our hearts and our minds and what we feed ourselves. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.